Rotatoes! It's Friday, which means we are here to round out episode 9. I hope that you've had a fantastic time with this arc. I'm incredibly proud of what we achieved. I don't think I anticipated it being or going quite as hard as it did, this arc, but I am so proud and so happy that it did. And so much of that is down to the incredibleness, the awesomeness, the amazingness that is George Primavera, Aaron Keefe, and John Mackey. And over on our Patreon right now, we will be premiering a brand new arc with those three very, very soon. It'll either be out now or out very, very soon. So if you want to go and check that out, if you want more Aaron, John, and George goodness, then you should absolutely get over to the Patreon and check that out. And I do, really quickly, before I go ahead and get on with the rest of this episode, to have to tell you about another Patreon, because Oaths and Empires Episode 1 is officially out over on the Patreon. Oaths and Empires Patreon right now. Brand new show. So freaking proud of it. So proud of the guys, Luke and Tom. Their first time playing Dungeons & Dragons. Please, if you got a second, go ahead and check that show out. The first 20 minutes are publicly available now as well, so if you want to listen to the first 20 minutes, want to dip a toe before you dive right in, then you can do. Please go check it out. We put so much into it. This is the last time that I'm going to mention it. Nah, it's not true. I'm going to mention it a ton more. But it's the last time I'm going to mention it in this intro and for the rest of this episode, because now it's time to get into the second part of episode 9. Take it away, Pass Me!
You make your way down, and after a couple of minutes, these are some pretty efficient elevators, even though you are going down tens of floors, you find yourself, I'm assuming, just sort of frantically pressing the sort of buzzer in to get into Yernal's quarters. You all inside Yernal's quarters, Yernal is kind of slowly at this point, is like lifting the sort of this perfectly kind of white sphere and is like putting it into like a kind of almost like a harness as the buzzer starts going like crazy, and he's like, oh, somebody get that, please, oh my god, please stop him, oh my god, somebody help me, oh, what are you doing, why are you just stood there, fuck. And you see he's like holding, and you can see that the this white, perfectly white sphere, which has like no, is like so smooth, so it's so hard to carry, and it's just like definitely slipping from his grasp as this buzzer's going off like crazy, and he's trying to get it in the harness. Does anyone try to help or go and answer the door?
Into the door.
I watch.
Okay, he's just gonna roll a quick dex save to see if he drops this thing. He just passed.
Oh, nice.
You had it.
Good for him. He didn't need us.
It was a pretty low DC, but could have killed you again, Ollie, but that's fine. Don't worry about it.
Aren't you glad I didn't step in?
Not really, no. Tundra, you throw the door open, and there is... Quick question, Shadi, actually, before we answer the door. Did you... I'm assuming... Well, actually, he would have insisted that you obviously wash, and he would have, like... made sure that all the blood was like out of your clothes and your hands and stuff like that. Do you still have your axe with you? Have you kept that?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, cool. You answer the door and Shadi is stood in front of you, Tundra.
Come in, come on.
Yeah, I just like push in immediately and like close the door behind me. And I just like start bawling. Like, I've had the fucking worst day in my whole fucking life, you guys.
Oh my god. Dude, what's up?
Whoa.
What's up? Dude, what's up? Hey.
Dad's fucking dead, Yernal.
What? What do you mean Dad's dead?
I got on the ship and then I talked to Mom and she made me feel crazy.
Well, yeah, that happens.
And then I got to the room and Dad tried to...
Who killed your dad?
Yeah, who the fuck did it?
I did it.
What?
I did it.
Oh, fuck, dude, what the fuck?
He was being an asshole.
Oh my fuck.
He was being an asshole, and I just kind of lost control. You know, I've been wanting to say something for forever. He wasn't letting me talk.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of, like, didn't even think about it, and I swung my axe just trying to knock him out. Okay, I was just trying to knock him out.
Oh, fuck.
But this, the
blade You used
slipped.
A fucking axe? What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
I don't fight a lot, Yernal, okay? I didn't
But just use your fucking fists or something. Like, put him in a sleeper hold, dude, like I fucking showed you.
I've seen
so many fucking times.
I know.
Fuck, dude.
Are people after us right now?
No, it's taken care of. It's taken care of.
What do you mean it's taken care of?
What the fuck? What do you mean it's taken care of? Who the fuck is taking care of it? What the fuck are you talking about?
The big guy, the 12-foot guy, whatever. I can't remember his name right now. I'm too emotional. I'm just so stressed out. He's taking care of it, okay?
Wait, Mr. Welsh?
Yeah.
You mean Mr. fucking Welsh?
Yeah.
Mr. Welsh is here? What the fuck? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, look, it's gonna be taken care of, okay? But honestly, at this point, I feel like Dad deserved it.
Dude, what the fuck? Okay, first of all, if Mr. Welsh is here, that's fucking insane and weird. And what the fuck? I didn't even realize he still worked. Fuck. Okay, that doesn't even matter. Okay, Dad's dead. Holy shit, Dad's fucking dead. Dad's dead. Oh my god, Dad's dead?
Yes.
Like, actually dead. Are you sure? Did you check the pulse?
His head was all the way off urinal.
What the fuck? You beheaded him? What the fuck was this?
You cut his head off, man?
That's awesome, dude. Your dad sucked.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, when you say it like I cut his head off, it implies that I intended to cut his head off. I accidentally slipped and he was beheaded.
What?
We need to use passive voice here.
I had no idea you had that in you. That's awesome.
Oh my fucking god. I've got to de-rig this fucking bomb and you've just told me my dad's dead.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And I'll be honest, man. It's been stressful, and I was overwhelmed with emotion, but if I'm being totally honest, I on the walk over here, I was really rolling it over in my head, and I was thinking about it, and I'll be honest.
As you're saying all of this, Shadi, Yernal just comes in and gives you the biggest hug he's ever given you.
Oh.
Dude, listen, okay? Fucking, I get it, dude. I thought about it so many fucking times, and I can easily fucking imagine how easy it'd be, okay?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, there's times, right, where like mom was just like getting into me and it was.
You know what's like, crazy? You know what the craziest part is, Yernal? It kind of felt good.
Dude, I felt happy just now when you told me. The first thing I felt was happiness. Then it was panic. But like first up, it was straight up happiness. Wild.
And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking like, yeah, our family throughout the whole universe is looked at as the bad guys. But what if we take the reins, Yernal? What if we're the turlets that the universe know?
Oh
and,
my,
and we,
dude.
We
dude.
Take the we take the mantle from our family.
Dude, shut the fuck up. Do you know what I just realized? I'm the fucking head of the family, dude. I'm the fucking head of the Durland family.
Well, like,
whoa, fuck.
I think we could tag team it, kind of.
You don't think your mom's gonna retain a little bit of control of that?
Oh yeah, mom is still alive, by the way, and she's pissed at me, big time.
I can absolve him or whatever. I'm the fucking head of the Turlet family. That's like how it works. My dad literally excused so many bad and awful people. There was this one time where a group of people tried to get inside a governmental building, and he was just like, "You're all forgiven." Is that too close? Was that too close to home?
Yeah, hey, maybe. Turlet, let me walk you through a scenario, right? Somebody tells you that you are going to be given all the passwords to all the computers in the world, right?
Sounds good to me.
And you think, wow, I've got it all. I've got control, right? But they haven't given you the passwords yet. You just know that you're supposed to get them. And the person who has the passwords doesn't want you to have them.
Why not? I'm the head of the family.
Do you think your mom's gonna see it that way?
I don't, like, it's probably like lawyers and stuff. I don't know. It's probably not up to mom.
I thought you were smart, man. You're reprogramming bombs. We're relying on you here. You don't.
I am smart. I'm just saying that law isn't exactly the thing that I studied. Okay?
Look, I don't think it matters who's going to be the head of the family. Okay? All that matters is that we get this job done. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Shit. Sorry. The bomb. Okay. Yeah.
If we do this right, then Shadi Turlet and Yernal Turlet, sort of alternatively, sort of secondarily, will be a part of the crew that saved all these people. And the Turlet name will be restored. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And you know what? Thank you, Ollie, and I mean that for grounding me. Okay, I got a little, you know what I mean? You see infinite wealth in front of you for a second, and it just, you know, it got to me, okay? You got to me, fair enough. I'll take that L.
I'm hardcore scrutinizing an insight check right now, if I can. I'll believe that for a second above table, but I'll see if Ollie lets it go. Oh my god.
I think it's my favorite, one of my favorite things in this arc, how much George hates, hates Yertle Tullet, which is fair.
He's edging in on my big brother spot. Nine.
Yeah, man. He's really apologizing. And it probably, here's the thing. It maybe feels a little bit good because he's kind of giving you a, you know, he's kind of all like right. telling you yeah. that you're right.
That's right. Jasper, I have a retroactive question, and if it's not reasonable to have attempted this, that's totally okay. While they are freaking out, after Shaddy and reveals that he was happy about it, I think I would be invested until that, and I'd be like, oh, okay, we're good. Then it's a celebration.
Okay, we're fine. We're fine. Yeah, sure.
I want to turn around and immediately try to look at that emerald that was in that thing on the sly.
100%.
Even if it's just moving Rombi closer to it yeah. with my butt, if he's like in my pocket.
100%. In which case, go ahead, give me an investigation check, and I'll say that Rombi's giving you the help action for this.
I'm going to do right by my homie who's helped us out. 15.
With a 15, yeah, you get a... you get like a little bit of information from this, which is that like there's, as you're kind of getting sort of close and giving it a side eye, and Rombi's kind of like, oh, yeah, holy shit, look at this. And you kind of notice that some of the really, really fine details are shifting ever so slightly. There's like a pattern that kind of seems to go around the outside, almost like this. It's kind of all a kind of bronzy golden color, but there's like some filigree on it, which seems to be shifting slightly, almost like there's like a liquid kind of metal inside, and you realize that this metal is the living metal of Sim, and so you are almost certain that this was produced on the planet of Sim. And not only that, there's like only like a few, maybe like two spots where this could have been created, like as in like sort of sit like a, like two cities basically where like that have the kind of are like renowned for making, you know, or like utilizing the living metal in more kind of interesting ways, that these two main cities are where like most of the live ships get produced and things like that. So it would 100% be in sort of either of those places that this thing was created. And I'll say one last thing, which is that the emerald itself, this kind of dial thing in the middle, you notice that it doesn't have a true heading, and as soon as you look at it, the heading seems to change a little bit, and I think you immediately recognize that whatever this instrument is, it's attuned to whomever is using it. So it's almost like as you start to perceive it, it starts to attune with you, essentially.
Oh cool, I grabbed that.
You gonna grab it?
I reach a hand out, and as it's changing, as I look at it, and I just pick it up. And if no one's looking at me during their freak out and their big hug, I just put it in my pocket.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You pocket this emerald out. Go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check, and I'll give you advantage given the fact that there's two large dudes freaking out at the other side of the room.
Not my best, believe it or not. I rolled an 18, which makes my roll a 17.
When you said not your best, I didn't realize you meant actively bad at it. Yeah, you 100% pocket this thing, assuming that no one has a passive perception or investigation of higher than 17. You pocket this thing and no one is any the wiser. Rombi, however, does go, well, hell yeah, dude, that's awesome. Thank you so much for getting that. That is great. And for that, here. And you kind of feel a well of inspiration inside of you. Oh, as Rombi grants you okay. an inspiration.
Let's go.
As he sort of gives you a little something for helping to further his cause.
No problem, pal.
After this kind of malaise, finally, you know, the sort of the scene starts to dilate. You see that Yernal goes, okay, I need to get my head back in the game and figure out what's going on with this thing. So, question to the group. Are we sticking with my original plan? Do we want this thing to bamf people out of here? Or no?
Yeah, I think that's where no reason to go any different than that, right? As long as they're brought to a safe location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's the snag. The way that this works is it'll bamf anyone that's on this ship's ledger. What I can gather, you two, and he kind of points at Tundra and Ollie, you didn't come in officially, at least not by your names, right?
Right. We've got a backup plan for escape. Don't worry about that.
Right.
So you're good?
We're good. We're taken care of.
Okay. Because me and Shaddy will probably go with everyone else.
Wait, yeah. What do you mean?
And if this works.
Your name's on the ledger, Shaddy, so you're going to get teleported.
I'm going to get separated from you guys?
But you'll be fine.
You'll stay with me. That's cool, right, Shaddy? You're fine with
me. I mean, yeah. Stay with me. Just, you know, if any kind of like group stuff happens, I'll feel kind of like left out, you know?
Well, we'll get right to you, Shaddy. We're going to jump on Bugsley. He's going to pick us up. We'll jump off the ship. Yeah. We'll make our way to Bugsley.
And we won't do any inside jokes. We won't get good food. We won't do anything fun.
Thunder and I won't say a thing to each other the whole way.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to need your help for this next part. I'm going to start removing panels from this thing, and we're going to try and change the, well, check it and then make sure that it's still working. I didn't build this. I know how it works. I've programmed it before, but this is not my construction. So let's just take things nice and slowly, okay? And we will We'll be okay. Anna, you'll remember back to the last episode where he revealed that Tur, middle name D-E-D, Turlet, was the one that actually constructed this this for him. So you see, as he kind of holds his hands up in the air, you see these kind of glyphs appear in the sort of palm of his hand. And a little sort of Doctor Strange style, he kind of twists these glyphs in the air, and these little kind of prisms start to appear as panels start to slowly and surely kind of float away from this instrument. Can I get everyone to roll me a wisdom saving throw, please?
Everybody adds +3 if they're near me.
Oh, yes, actually, that's actually quite useful for you. Oh, thank you. I'm assuming you're allowing Yernal into that as well.
No.
No?
No, I'm not allowing Yernal into that.
You're not?
No. It's for allies, and I do not consider him an ally.
I'm just going to say right now, this is screaming of unsummoning the steed. This role right here.
I'm just saying, if it's an unconscious aura, I do not extend it to him.
Sure. You do not extend it to him. Okay, let's go.
I rolled a 3.
It's a 12 for me.
A 23 for me.
Do you know what's real fun there? Is that Yernal also got a 12.
Fun.
So there you go. Friends.
I give him a thumbs up. He still gets no aura.
Tundra, because you passed that success, I'm going to give you a choice. As you look into this strange instrument, you see that this brilliant white light seems to spill out of it, masking your friends and the world around you. It almost feels now as if you're hovering in this kind of white void. And in the very center, you see this sort of swirling purplish black mass. And rippling inside it, you get this sense of like existential dread fill you as you're looking into void space. And it literally makes you feel like physically sick to sort of perceive nothingness. And as you look through and into this thing, you suddenly start to see something beyond it. Tundra, what is one thing that Tundra wishes either didn't happen or happened differently?
I think she thinks about Ember living.
As you peer through this into this strange void, you go back to the night. I think that you and Ember had found yourself some lodging, and you remember exactly how this night happened. You were sat in the bed, probably eating some absolutely fine tavern food, and Ember was sort of doing an over-elaborate kind of reconstruction of one of her really impressive kills. And in the blink of an eye, you just remember this entity, this creature sort of appearing almost out of nowhere. Ember's throat was cut and it was gone as quickly as it appeared, and you just remember seeing Ember's body. But as you look through into this purplish void, you see that night just plays out. Ember finishes her story. You probably have a moment where you're like, oh, are we gonna get it on tonight? And then you both just fall asleep because you're kind of exhausted. And you wake up the next morning and go about your lives. We move now to Ollie. We're going to go to Ollie next. Ollie, having failed that save, your eyes grow wide as that same white spills out everywhere, and you find yourself back on the wall. The wall where you were left. Left alone as the only person keeping watch. Suddenly off in the distance, you see this kind of billowing smoke as something seems to be rapidly approaching the wall itself. But what is different this time, something that you've never seen before, is on the wall, there is a panel in front of you, and somehow, and for whatever reason, you, to this day, you cannot tell why, you know the code for incoming threat. Maybe you picked it up subconsciously as you walked in the building, and you arm the wall's outer defenses, and you fend off this threat. You never go to prison, and in fact, you're even rewarded. Rewarded quite handsomely. As we leave you with that moment. And Shadi, there is a... As you kind of stare into this purplish void and look beyond, and this sort of vision appears, you find yourself in a exam room, looking down, kind of sweat dripping onto a paper. You remember how this went. You panicked and you just ticked A, B, C, kind of in the answers, like in a row. You just went A, B, C, and then went back to A, B, C, and just that's how you did it. But in this version, Yernal had slipped you a piece of paper right before you went in the exam room. And as you look down at that piece of paper, you see a series of letters that seem to be giving you the answers to this test. And you pass with flying colors, getting the best grades that any Turlet has ever got, and will graduate with major honors. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to play a little mini game as you suddenly hear now Yernal's voice in your head. Okay, everyone, I'm assuming that you're feeling the vibes that I'm feeling. I don't want to concern you, but I do think this is an alternate reality which we're looking at. This is actually technically kind of real, but do not get suckered in. You cannot get it. You cannot go there. That is not possible. You'd have to go through a void. Nothing exists in the void. If you try to reach out to that thing, you will die, okay? So everyone stay calm, and I'm gonna need you to follow my lead exactly. And then he sort of starts describing a series of movements that he needs you to match. And we're gonna play a fun little game. I'm gonna ask everyone to roll a d20. And what we're gonna do is, you're not allowed to say what the number is. You're not allowed to say higher or lower. You're not allowed to give any indication as to what the actual number is. The only thing that we're allowed to do as of four, and I'm going to play this game too. There's no secret to this. We are basically going to put ourselves in an order of lowest to highest roll. And then we will reveal what everyone rolled. And if we're in order, we will get the success that we need.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
And if it's out of order, that will kind of, that essentially means that we're a little bit out of sync as we try to do this thing. So everyone go ahead, roll me a d20.
This is crazy, Jasper.
You can say whatever you want. You just can't reference the number. You can't say higher or lower. You can't kind of communicate in any way that would give it a sort of strong indication as to what your number is. But you can say maybe where you think that you should go or whatever. So I'm going to start and just say, I think I'm probably in the middle-ish somewhere.
I think I'm just behind Jasper, like lower.
Me as well.
And I'm for sure at the top.
Okay, confident? You're confident, John? You're at the top?
I'm very confident.
I think I'm last then.
So then I think we got to figure out Aaron and I.
Jasper, can I ask you just like kind of weird questions that have nothing to do with numbers?
Yeah, yeah, also, yeah, yeah. Whatever you want to ask. Yeah,
if
yeah.
this number was a color, what color would it be? There you are.
I'm going to say like a reddish brown.
And do you like this number?
I don't actually. Do you like your number?
I think my number's okay.
Yeah, I don't like my number.
I like my number.
I like my number too. Bright red for me.
Okay, you guys like your numbers.
I think I'm going to put, we go George.
I think it might be you. I think it's you. I think it's you, then me.
I think it's me, Aaron, Jasper, John.
I think, yeah, I think that's the order.
I feel confident about you guys being the bookends, but Jasper, hold on, hold on, guys, let's just be cool.
be cool.
If your number was the genre of music, what genre of music would it be?
Oh, it's jazz for sure. It's like, it's not structured. It's not a structured piece of music, I don't think, my number.
Got it.
You know what I mean? It's very freeform, I think. Fuck, I'm so scared that I'm going to reveal this and you guys will be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm ready to go. I think we got it.
Okay, wait. Let me flip back to you. If your number was a fruit, what fruit would it be?
John, if you don't get it, then you don't get it. I'm a Massachusetts witch and this is part of my process.
When this works perfectly, John, you're going to eat your fucking words, okay?
Sure. Yeah. Can't wait.
When this doesn't work, though.
I'm in between an orange and raspberries.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. I think we're good then. I think we're good. Because I think I'm a mango.
Okay. All right. Okay. I trust you.
All my confidence is gone after that exchange.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so the order we're going in is Ollie, Tundra, Yernal, and then finally Shaddy. Okay?
Okay. So I'm going first. Here we go. Ready?
So you're going to say your number whenever you're ready.
I got an 8.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm so nervous.
And then I'm next?
Yeah, you're next.
11.
I'm just going to hold mine up to the camera so you guys can see what I got.
12.
I got a 12, guys.
Wow. And what'd you get, John?
What if John said 10 right now? I would fucking die.
I would kill you, John, if you said 10 right now.
It's a 19.
Okay. Let's go.
Hell yeah, we did it.
That was the stupidest way to ever do
it. Unbelievable.
Hey, but did it fucking work?
It did work, I guess. Yes. I don't know if...
It worked.
It worked.
It worked. It definitely worked. Okay. So inside this void, you all start matching the kind of rhythm and sort of things that Yernal's calling out. And as you look down at your hands, you now have these same kind of glyphs that you're essentially like moving in the air. And you can see this sort of strange, sort of amorphous kind of purple, black blob in the middle seems to be responding to the moves that you're making. Yernal calls out, "That's it, we're nearly there. Just one more." Wait, who the fuck's doing that? Guys, I'm serious, don't do that. Don't, what are you doing? Ollie, as you are in the zone, fully locked in, you hear in your head, "That is it. He watches us. He is trying to cross. You have to get it. Ollie, you have to get it. Go now. Ollie, you have to go now." And I'm going to need a wisdom saving throw from you, please,
fuck,
Ollie.
What the fuck?
As Rombi, seemingly possessed by something, is trying to alter your actions.
That's a 25.
Ollie, this vision that you had of you on top of this wall suddenly starts to shift. You see now this face appear, and it's not like it's in a particular location or a room or anything like that. It's just like it kind of appears in your mind's eye, like you almost can't not see it. As you see this strange kind of amalgamation of what looks like a humanoid and a dragon, it is a face that I don't think has been revealed to you at all yet, But another member of the party has seen this face in a similar flashback. And you see, as you kind of zoom out, this broad kind of hulking figure, huge frame with these gigantic draconic wings, this impossibly large kind of paw hand clutching a compass, and these kind of golden eyes kind of pierce and almost look like they're seeing you. As you, I think, start to fill this image out, you see a blood-stained knife in one hand, and you don't know how you know, but you know that's Ember's blood that's on that knife. And I think you start to piece together that this is the person who killed Ember, is the same person that's currently clutching this compass.
And it's just a humanoid dragon in front of me.
It's like this 12-foot, like, huge, towering kind of thing. It doesn't feel like it's in front of you. It feels like it's in your mind. It's not like it's, like, in a physical space.
Okay, okay, okay.
But rounding out this image, you then see, as this intense heat rises up from your kind of, I'm assuming, sort of back pocket or kind of bag satchel area where you keep Rombi, this intense heat, as it kind of explodes, and you see these sparks fly out, and behind this figure, a second taller figure, this 18-foot tall giant, braids kind of falling down the back of the head and down, like, all the way down its back, sort of shirtless, broad chest, sort of fur-lined kind of clothes, wielding probably the biggest sword you've ever seen in your life. And it looks down at you and goes,
"Oh my god, I think I remember my name."
As this entity speaks with the voice of Rombi.
"This is me? Holy shit, dude, I am cool! My name is Murdash, King of the People. I can't remember anything other than that. But this guy..."
And sort of refers to the other figure that's kind of currently in occupying your mind's eye.
"He has my compass. And we're going to get it." Oh, we're going to get it.
With your roll, you can choose to end this whenever you like, because you can absolutely feel that this is a two-way channel currently, and this creature that's holding this compass is absolutely, like, clocking you and everything around you. It's kind of essentially, like, scrying on you in the same way that you're scrying on it in this moment.
Then in that case, I'm gonna say, "See you on the Shadesmar. We've got what you want."
Okay. Oh shit, this is gonna be good. Okay. Ollie, you say that out loud as you all blink and find yourself back in a room with your friends and with Yernal. He's kind of like drenched in sweat and it's just like, "Okay, I don't know how, but we did it. This thing has been reprogrammed. You dinged it up, but it's okay. I still think we should take it to the Solarium, just in case. But I would say that I am 99.8% confident that this is going to do exactly what I've told it to do."
"All right. Lead the way, Ernal. We'll bring it behind you."
And it's at that point that Lucian pipes up and goes, "Hey, so I was facing the other way. What happened? You all seem to kind of get real intense for a moment there.
We'll catch up on it later, Lucian."
"Okay. Just a real quick, the Solarium would also just be a good place for you guys to haul up if you're planning on, waiting for, someone to come pick you up before, you know, vampires are suddenly flooding onto the ship. Could I ask that you leave me behind?"
Sure.
It's called Solarium for a reason.
Yeah. But you know what? Why don't you sit right here? I'm going to put him on a shelf next to a couple tchotchkes.
But you're going to come back for me. You could just sort of yeet me out of a window and then come pick me up, maybe.
Oh!
That might be better.
I go to a window. Yeah. Right around here, sound good?
Immediately, Yunnel turns around and goes, I need you to engage your brain for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Before you open that window.
Uh-huh.
We are now in space.
Right.
This is a compressed area of the ship.
Uh-huh.
Let's just not open the window.
If it's a compressed area of the ship, could I physically open that window?
Yeah, this is like one of the only areas of the ship that you can, because I have overrides in my area which allow that manual openings to happen.
So manual openings are allowed here, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, but they're still bad for everyone involved. So we'll get him out of the ship, that's fine. We'll just get up to a decompressed zone, and then you can throw him off. But maybe, why does he want to be? Wait, I'm just clocking that you have the head of what appears to be a vampire that's still talking to you. I don't think we have time to investigate it, so I'm just going to say that's okay.
So I'm just going to save everyone time, and I'm going to put my hand on the handle, and I'm just going to, real quick, Malaysian! Just let him get sucked out like a boba.
Don't say it like that!
Sucked out like a boba.
Make me a dex check as you try to stop yourself from getting sucked out like a boba.
Here we go, baby.
This campaign has been the most ridiculous thing I have ever been a part of.
No matter what happens in the rest of this episode is now called Sucked Out by a Boba. Like a boba.
14?
You scraped by the success.
Great.
So roll me a d20.
Okay. 1.
Okay. The world of Axis suddenly seems to shift slightly as the sort of cosmic karmic balance starts to come sort of back to a normal center of alignment.
Am I about to have a very bad day?
Ollie, you, as you look and you see the head of Lucien drifting, luckily, kind of, you've just about entered, because the timer is getting pretty low now. You've just about entered the shadow of Anvil now, and Lucien is drifting kind of in the shadow of Anvil. And you see Lucien kind of is looking at you with a broad smile, kind of like, eh, nice. And then sort of looks slightly concerned. And you see drifting in front of Lucien's face a little smattering of blood as just a single finger drifts past Lucien's face. As you look, and where you'd put you'd sort of slammed the window shut, you're just missing your pointer finger. It's just drifting off into space.
Huh. I can't feel that, but I think that's my... Oh, and it's starting to hurt. And it's starting to hurt.
Yep.
Ow. Ow.
And you take 3 points of damage as you lose your point of
finger. I'm going to pass out. I'm not so good with my own blood. I'm all right.
Yarnel will come over and like slap some gauze on it and stem the bleeding and just be like, dude, I told you, well, whatever. It's cool.
I don't need your help. Give me that.
You with one hand and... 9 fingers gauze your own hand.
Fuck.
And yeah, you managed to patch it up. Yael now turns around to all of you and goes, okay, so what's the plan? Because by my count, we've got about 30 minutes before this thing goes off. It's going to take you a minute to get up to the solarium. You guys going to head up?
I feel like we have to, right? We don't have time to do anything else.
What's the deal here? Am I going with you? Am I, like, what's the...
Put the bomb where it needs to be in the optimal position. We're going to go to the solarium, and once it's in position, you meet us there with the bomb. Unless the bomb's coming with us, in which case, get right on our tail. You're carrying it.
I'm carrying it?
Yeah, you got this. Come on, you're a big, strong guy.
Sure, yeah, that's right. I'm probably the most competent.
And I dropped it last time, man. Okay, so why don't you just take it?
That's super true. Okay, all right, awesome. I'll take it.
Can you go ahead of us for a second? Can I have a moment with my friends here for a second?
Yeah, sure. Okay. But make it quick, okay? We've not got long. And we gotta get moving. And I'm sure this is gonna go absolutely fine.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great, Urinal. I turn to Shaddy and Tundra.
guys, I just lost my freaking finger. Guys.
Wait, what?
My finger's gone.
What do you mean?
My finger's gone. I shot my finger off and I put Lucian out the window. Fuck.
I mean, he killed his dad today, though, so...
Oh, yeah, did put it, thank you. That put it in perspective. I'm okay.
There we
I'm
go, gonna, huh? You didn't, at least you didn't kill your dad today.
Oh, I didn't kill my dad today. I'm going to give myself 3 points of lay on hands to get back to full and stop the bleeding. Okay, I'll deal with this later. I you know what? I have prosthetics for this. It's cool. It's... Let's just say it didn't happen like this, okay? And I want to just really quick, Tundra, I've been through a lot. I'm gonna need you to take this from me, okay? And I hand Tundra a small silver ring. Just put this on.
Okay, okay.
All right.
I'm gonna attach it to a necklace that I have.
Great.
So it's a little bit closer to my person and less likely to get lost.
Do you have a trinket or a favor from Ember on there as well?
Yes.
What I does do. It look? What does it look like?
I think it's like a little sunburst charm.
Yeah.
That is like a little tarnished and broken and has been glued back together several times.
Putting that necklace on, I'm going to cast Warding Bond. So that basically means that as long as you are within 60 feet of me for the next hour, and this thing is going to go off in 30 minutes, so that should be plenty of time.
We'll call it 25 now.
Amazing. You gain a +1 bonus to AC and all saving throws.
Hell yeah.
And you have resistance to all damage.
Whoa.
What? All damage.
How do you do?
Every time you take damage, I take the same amount of damage.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's the drawback. Holy shit.
So I'm going to take the other half of the damage, essentially, every time you take damage.
Whoa.
But this way, I don't have to worry about where you are to heal you, and I can't, like, use that much more of the healing kit on you because your short rest dice are expended. So this is, like... I can manage Shaddy with spells and stuff, and I can manage you by just taking your damage a little bit and healing myself.
Great.
That's cool.
Thank you. That is awesome.
So, you will, with some ease, because you are with Yernal Turlet, find yourself in the mag lift that will take you up to the Solarium. It is, actually, given everything you've seen on the ship, this is a pretty low-key elevator. It's not particularly fancy. It looks like some kind of wrought iron walls, not particularly magical, as this sort of box essentially hums to life and you begin shooting upwards towards this space. After probably about a minute or so, which kind of puts in perspective just how far up the Solarium is and how big this ship is, that it takes that long for you to get there in an incredibly sort of fast-moving elevator. The doors slide open. And you see in front of you this incredible glass dome. It almost feels as though you are inside of a glass flower. As the sunlight from Vega that is just sort of peeking round now the edge of Anvil, this sort of beautiful eclipse that's now happening, is just ever so slightly kind of refracting through this flower. And you can see at the center of this this Solarium, there is an incredible kind of ball of energy. And there is something that appears to be sort of drawing this energy down. And you realize that this is one of the main ways that they power this ship. They are sort of essentially refracting and harnessing the sort of maximum amount of Vega's energy and magic and funneling it directly into the ship. As essentially you see this beautiful glass flower refracting light, and in the center of it, this kind of warm, almost miniature sun hovers in the middle. And I think as you come out and the sunlight crests, the Vega light, I should say, crests over Anvil, the sun begins to dim. Though it is still there, you kind of get the sense that there's enough kind of it, this little miniature sun inside the Solarium, that it will kind of keep going for some time. But you see as it shifts from a brilliant white down to like a blue, and then very slowly it's starting to turn orange, but very, very, very slowly. As you can see, the kind of fuel is starting to burn off as you are now shrouded in darkness and but a few minutes away from this thing going off. So you step out, and there are these two massive glass doors in front of you. Yonel confidently strides forward with his key card, hits the little scanner, and the doors don't open.
Access denied.
What would you like to do?
I am going to pop out my steed. I have one free use of that spell without using a spell slot.
What are you summoning?
I'm going to summon Shiny again. Same dude. But I'm not going to summon the healing celestial version of him. He's going to be a little more blue and shimmery rather than like light and radiant.
A blue shimmery version prances out and like, yes, I am back, everyone. What happened?
And I'm just going to hop on him. And I said, no time, Shiny. I need to do that thing we do when I summon you like this, kind of right out the gate.
Sure thing. Just quickly, real quick, just for those at the back who don't know, what do I do when you summon me like this?
Yeah, sure. And I'm going to teleport with him to the other side of the door.
Whoa!
Okay. You teleport with him to the other side of the door. What does it look like, do you think, as your steed and you disappear?
Both of us turn into like this like misty, sparkly blue light and just squeeze between the microscopic edges of the seam in the doorway and then reform on the other side. I can teleport up to 60 feet, but I'm going to just teleport right to the other side of the doorway there.
Okay. You reappear. And as you do, you feel you probably never experienced anything quite like it. It's like your whole body gets put through a sort of like this like warm wash just kind of falls over your entire body as you feel almost every single muscle in your body start to relax as you can feel the intense heat of this little this miniature blue sun kind of wash over you. It is really, really hot in here.
Okay.
Almost unbearably hot in here.
I quick open the door from this side or look for some way to do that.
Yeah, go ahead and roll me an investigation check.
Urinal, what am I supposed to be looking at on this side?
He looks at you and goes, I don't know.
An 18 on the investigation?
With an 18, you know there is also a card reader on this side of the door.
No.
I have massage level clearance that I'm going to try.
Access denied.
Fuck. Hey guys, it's really hot in here. What do I do? Chatty?
Fuck. My fucking mother, I knew it. I fucking knew she wouldn't give me the top clearance. Man, she sucks. She really sucks, man. God damn, she doesn't even trust me. She doesn't trust me. I can't believe it. She doesn't trust me. After everything I've fucking done. Everything. I told the line, man. God. Oh! And he just starts like headbutting the glass. He's just like, fuck!
While Urinal's like freaking out, Shaddy's got his hand in his pocket and he's just like insanely squeezing the little emerald thing. Like, just like over and over and over again. He's like, just like.
Go ahead, roll me a d20, please, Shaddy.
19.
Oh.
In which case, I'm only going to need one constitution saving throw from you, Ollie, as you're there, and only a minute goes by before the doors to the elevator slide open once more.
Cool, that's a natural one.
Jesus Christ.
natural one? Okay. You are going to take a level of exhaustion, which I believe gives you disadvantage on skill checks, as you feel this light is so intense and you feel like that wave start to pass over you. As you're like sweating, kind of like I'm imagining kind of pounding on the other side of these sort of glass double doors. The doors are so clear as well, so it really doesn't feel like you're like far away from your friends at all. They're right there. These big lift doors open as you see this giant man come barreling out. And he's like, oh, what is the problem? What's happening?
We gotta get in here.
Oh.
We gotta get out of here.
The key cards won't work. I think our mom turned off our access, but we gotta get in here for something.
Oh, right. And you sort of see he looks kind of confused at Yernal, like, you don't have access? I'm going to ask everyone for an insight check real quick.
Fuck. Nat 20.
Nat 20?
18.
Dirty 20. Yernal betrayed us. I'm calling her right now.
Yernal immediately, as soon as this guy walks out, is like, you see like a look of confusion across his face. He kind of drops his key card. Just like at where he stood, he just drops his key card. Ollie, you don't know why, but you really can't place this guy's face. It's like you 100% have seen this dude before, and you just don't know why. And as this conversation's happening, he's striding forward. He pulls out a key card, hits the dial on the side. The doors start to slide open. And as they do, with that nat 20, Shaddy, you suddenly like breathe in through your nose for a second. And you're like, wait, I haven't been crying. Why can I smell salt?
Oh, fuck.
As these doors start to slide open and you see this huge hulking figure as the sunlight billows through these double doors and hits him, you just hear a,
oh, well, that is unfortunate.
As this giant man, Mr. Welsh, the illusion suddenly shifts and melts away to reveal none other than the Salt Father. He looks to you, Shaddy, and goes,
if it makes you feel any better, I did feel sorry for you. And I do wish that you had a better father.
You have, I'll say you have about, just for the sake of, you know, just in case we get into combat, not that we will, we'll say that you have a couple of minutes until this thing goes off.
Oh, Mr. Saltfather, you're standing in the light of a sun and you seem fine. It's really hot in here.
Wait, so where is everybody? Can we just do a quick check of where everyone is, like, standing?
Currently, you're all huddled in the doorway, including Ollie, and the Saltfather now kind of towers over you, kind of in that doorway.
But is Ollie inside there and we're, like, partly out?
Yeah, he's, like, just inside and you're partly out, but now all of you feel that kind of rush of heat. You do see, as the sunlight hits the Saltfather, you can see that he's starting to smoke. Like, 100%. Like, it's not good for him to be stood here. But you get the feeling that he is that strong that he's just toughing it out, essentially. Like, he's just taking whatever damage is happening to him right now, he's just taking it.
Okay, I don't launch at him or anything, because I feel like he hasn't caught us in anything that we shouldn't be doing. We're just bringing the bomb to where we think it's best, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to, like, give up the game or anything yet. I think I just say, Mr. Saltfather, we can just get this box on the inside here. We're good to go. We can get back down, and we can attend to the rest of the ship.
Yeah, everything's going to according to plan, sir. And then I throw a huge, big salute at him.
Tundra sort of steps forward to kind of, like, be the leader. Sorry. Everything's going according to plan, and everything's going to be okay. And in that moment, Tundra is going to step forward and shove the guys behind her and try to lock the door and lock them in.
Wait.
So you're gonna keep the box on the outside and try and, yes, push everyone else inside and close the doors?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna need so it's athletics, and I'm gonna ask Ollie and Shaddy to make an athletics check. I think Yunnel's gonna fail that. Yunnel's like, what the fuck is going on?
That's not my best. That's not my best move.
I got an 18.
An 11 for me.
I got a natural 20, and I have +7 on athletics.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, what's happening? Are you pushing us into the sun?
So you guys get pushed into the solarium as the doors close, locking you inside the solarium with this sun. The bomb, Tundra, and the Saltfather are on the other side of the doors.
What the fuck?
And you can hear this kind of muffled conversation that then happens afterwards. You see the Saltfather's head kind of cocks to the side and goes,
Well, I only asked for 2 souls. You deliver me 3. I will, of course, take that in consideration.
And you see the doors at the back slide open, those lift doors slide open again, as Ember steps out of the lift.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Oh no.
I think Shaddy probably doesn't understand at this moment, and so he's just banging on the door, being like, let us out! Tundra, what are you doing?
Tundra, like, all the color has rushed from her face, and she can barely see. But she walks towards Ember. And can I check to see if it's really her?
Tundra, go ahead and roll me an insight check.
Oh, you guys. 14.
You stride forward towards Ember. And you can hear the Salt Father behind you says,
I did say that you would get Ember back. You would feel her embrace once more. That you shall.
And what you don't see, Tundra, but everyone else does, is the Salt Father lifts a hand, and you see that around the Salt Father's hand, blood starts to flow around it. As Ember seems to match the movement of the Salt Father's hand, drawing back this vile-looking dagger and plunges it into your stomach. That is a 27 to hit. That's going to be a crit because Ember is an assassin, and so therefore, because you are surprised, you're going to take a total of 42 points of necrotic damage as this dagger plunges into your stomach.
No, I'm not, though, right?
And you're going to, instead, you're going to take 21 points of damage.
Yeah.
As you, Ollie, suddenly feel this overwhelming surge of pain in your abdomen, and you take 21 points of damage.
I keel over on Shiny's back.
It is at this point that the Salt Father turns around, looks at you, Shaddy. The hand comes up again, surrounded and swirling with bloody energy. And I need you to make me a wisdom saving throw,
Jasper,
please.
Jasper, you fuck!
I got a question about the necklace really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
If I take it off, is any damage done to me?
If you take it off, is any damage done to you?
It's only on you.
It's only on me. Okay.
If you took it off, it would stop your friend from getting hurt.
With disadvantage, I would be an 8, by the way.
Shaddy, you suddenly feel as your hand reaches back against your own will and grabs hold of your great axe. And like an executioner, you see in front of you your friend Ollie.
Jasper.
The back of his neck laid bare.
Jasper.
As he's keeled over in pain.
Jasper.
And I need you to make an attack roll, please.
Are you fucking serious? Are you fucking serious?
Jasper, you didn't even let me do my plan.
25.
I'm assuming that hits Ollie.
It does. But I want to throw something at you. I have inspiration. Can I impose disadvantage on that or do something bigger? Or what's the scope of how I can use this disadvantage?
I will 100%. If you tell me in the moment as this axe is coming down what Ollie looks up at Shaddy and says or does, I will 100% let you impose disadvantage on this attack.
I just think he looks up into Shaddy's eyes and he realizes he's been betrayed by Tundra, and he thinks that Shaddy's fear in his eyes is probably meaning Shaddy's doing it against his will, but he isn't sure.
I'll give you for free, Ollie, because you've been through enough at this moment.
I don't know. He's had a pretty good day. A lot of today was good. Let's not forget that Ollie had a pretty good start to his day.
You see that Shaddy's hand is swirling. Like, there's that blood, that same kind of swirling kind of vortex of blood is surrounding Shaddy's hand. And it seems to be manipulating him.
Can I tell you what I want to do?
Please.
If I could interrupt him with this, I would spend a spell slot if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Could I spend a spell that takes an action before he does it to me with this inspiration?
You can pitch me. You can pitch me.
I have the spell Protection from Evil and Good.
Uh-huh.
And it would prevent a creature of many types, of which I think the Salt Father definitely qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be able to be possessed or charmed. And if they were already done so, they would have advantage on a saving throw to shirk the charm.
Okay, so here's the choice I'm going to give you.
Okay.
Shaddy, I'm assuming your wisdom isn't great.
No, it is very, it is, I get a plus zero on everything.
Here's the choice for you. Here's the choice for you, George. We can reroll the attack on you specifically, or we can reroll the wisdom save.
Okay.
It's just going to be one d20 either way, but it's either you don't get hit or he passes the wisdom save.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I'm going to have him reroll the wisdom save.
The wisdom save? Okay.
I look up at Shaddy and I say, Shaddy, fight it.
And Shaddy's like looking at him and like feeling his hands moving and he's like, what the fuck? And he's like flashing through everything that's happened today and just really overwhelmed and his eyes are welling up. Oh, fucking hell. 13. Fuck!
All right, I take that hit then.
Can you please roll damage on Ollie as you bring the axe down on the back of Ollie's neck?
I cannot believe this. I rolled max damage, 12 plus 4, 16.
Okay.
Fuck!
So, how much damage did you just take, Ollie?
16.
Plus the 21 that you just took from Tundra.
Yep. I'm still, I'm bloodied, but I have, I have health, yeah. And I'm ready to blast as much healing into myself as I need to when it comes around to my action. Assuming I get that chance.
And as the Salt Father stands, having brought the axe down on you, Ollie, and caused Ember to drive you through with this dagger, Tundra, what is it that Tundra would like to do?
Question about this door. Obviously, because it's like there's some... They're on the side where there's a lot of bad stuff happening. What kind of things can this door protect from? I assume that it's like hard to get through, hard to penetrate.
It doesn't seem like that intense heat is making its way through the door. So like at the very least, it's kind of designed to keep that out.
Awesome. And this could be the last episode if we want it to be.
Oh my God. What an incredible question to ask. Sure, it definitely could.
So Tundra is going to rip the necklace off her neck. And then I am going to take the box and throw it down at the ground with all of my force, making sure that the Salt King and Ember are all with me. And I'm going to look at my friends and try to communicate to them that I'm sorry and hopefully that they will survive this box exploding.
Holy shit. Okay. Aaron.
What's up? Is everyone having fun?
I'm going to need...
Because I sort of had a different plan, then it sort of kind of got out of hand really quickly. And I feel a little awkward. And, oh my God, John, I love your hat. And, oh my God, George, is that a new sweatshirt?
No. Aaron, don't cover it. This is fucking incredible. Oh, this is absolutely awesome. Incredible.
Guys, unrelated, we love to take you out to a spaghetti dinner in real life. Dinner on me, fellas, whatever you want. We'd love to take you out.
Oh.
Something nice.
Oh my God.
Any apps you want, apps, Aaron, desserts, we'll do the whole thing.
Aaron Keefe. Aaron Keefe.
Yeah, Jasper.
Tundra. Uh-huh. I'm going to ask you for two roles right now. So I'm going to ask you first.
Okay, great. Am I ever going to get asked back? Don't answer that.
For an athletics role. Then, after that, like, regardless of what happens, I'm going to ask you for a straight luck trick and we will resolve what happens here. So first of all, athletics. You all watch as Tundra first rips the necklace off, pulls herself away from this dagger. You can see this kind of black Icarus blood now spilling out onto the floor as you pivot. The Salt Father has like a moment of confusion as you run forward, pick this box up, hoist it above your head. What did you get for your athletics?
I got a 25. So I got plus 7.
You hurl this box directly down at the ground. What, Tundra, is the last thing that you say? Your friends will be able to hear you.
I can't say yippee-yay-yo. because that's crazy.
You 100% can.
Fuck.
Whatever you say, we'll hear it as Yip-E-I-O.
Okay, yeah. It's spiritually Yip-E-I-O, but I think she doesn't even say anything at all. I think she's hoping that her eyes will communicate how sorry she is and how she's hoping that they will be able to be fine after this.
I'm going to ask all three of you to roll me a d20. As this box makes contact with the ground, so much harder than it did previously. And erupting from this box is brilliant white light. And it extends out. And as it starts to touch things, they begin to shift and change. And you watch Tundra as this light extends through the door with no problem whatsoever. So, George, will you roll for Lucien?
Lucien, I bobaed Lucien.
Oh, you bobaed, yeah. Yeah, yes, absolutely fine, absolutely fine.
And boba's a verb now, here we go.
Boba's a verb, you bobaed him.
I have Rombi, slash Murdash.
Yeah, fuck it, why not? You roll for Murdash. John, you're going to roll for you and Yernal. And Erin, I'm going to need you to roll for you and Ember, whilst I am going to roll for the Saltfather.
I rolled a 17 for both of us.
Rombi got a 2. I got a 14 for Ollie.
Oh my god. I got a natural 20 for Ember and a 1 for Tundra.
You will watch as blinding light emits out from this box, enveloping all of you. I think the intense connection that you all formed over the course of the last few days means that your awareness of each other kind of lingers for a second. And as you blink again, each of you will find out what happens to your characters.
No way, dog.
Jasper, you bastard.
In the next
episode, this was the last episode, Jasper.
That's not allowed, Jasper.
Jasper, can I talk to you for one quick second? Jasper, sorry, can I just talk to you for a second?
Hey, I'm just gonna be very clear. We've only got 4 minutes on the clock, guys.
Oh,
so
my fuck God. My life.
And that
Jasper.
Was a timeline
Jasper.
I did not impose. So this is not on me. This is not on me.
That's cruel.
Oh.
Anything to plug?
Oh my God.
I'm legitimately upset. I'm legitimately upset. And I'm legitimately
sorry. Oh, are you
sorry.
Upset? Are you upset?
I know. And
are
I
you
know,
upset?
And I know.
What was upsetting to you about that, Erin? Was it?
I know. And then you put the necklace around my neck and you gave me the thing. And then I had to do that.
If it helps, Erin and I had a sidebar where Erin was feeling kind of bad about what
oh,
she was going to do.
Oh my God.
Very bad.
If that helps.
Remember, Jasper, I was feeling very bad about it.
I think you were feeling like moderately bad about what you were going to do in
Jasper.
Our sidebar.
Well, Ollie's going to kill you if he survives this.
As he should. I did have a plan for that to not happen like that. I had a plan, and then Jasper, I didn't know that you were going to have Ember stab me. That was
yeah,
sort of not
yeah,
part
of
my
course.
Plan. I wanted to seem like I was betraying you and then something else was, I had a plan.
Okay, but I just want to be real clear. So you didn't anticipate for a second the Salt Father might have
no.
some alternate, you didn't think that was possible, that that could happen, maybe.
No, I didn't. Mm. I didn't have
she
that.
She of course took the okay. Salt Father at his word.
I'm going to radiant breath everyone in this room.
But spaghetti, you guys bring plus one. Bring your wife, bring your friends, we'll all go to dinner.
I'm going to divine smite every one of you.
I'm so sorry, guys. I had a plan and it didn't work.
No, this was great. This is so good. This is so good.
Sorry.
So, I do actually have a small potential favor to ask of my rotators, because I haven't told you guys this yet, so you might say no, and then, you know, this won't even be a thing. But a little sidebar idea that we had for the Rotating Heroes podcast was that we would do a what if series.
Oh, that's fun.
Because we have so many characters and so many really cool things that have happened throughout the course of all of their stories that we thought, well, what if we explored what happens if people's stories turned out ever so slightly differently?
We just do a shopping episode that we never got to do.
Well, no. So basically, my pitch to you all is, and there's a reason why I kind of actively didn't tell you about this ahead of time because I didn't want to ruin it or ruin what was going to happen in the episode. But I would love to invite each of you to come on a solo D&D session with me where we would basically explore what happens to your characters at that what if intersection that you guys saw when you were inside the void.
Cool.
That's fun.
And what we're going to do from now on is we're going to be doing bonus episodes for the Champions of Zophine tier, which is like the higher tier on the Patreon, where we're going to do these one-on-one sessions and we're going to make our way back through previous arcs as well.
Oh, cool.
And basically you guys, the audience, will be able to vote for like a moment that you want from that arc and like something different. There is going to be a couple rules, which is that you're always going to at least meet the other people from the arc. So you have to see them in some way, but maybe you're fighting them. Who knows?
Cool.
So, yes, if my wonderful guests will oblige me and come back and do a one-on-one session, we will see what happens if Shaddy aced all of his tests at school. We will see what happens if Ollie never went to prison. And we will see what happens to Tundra if Ember was never assassinated.
That's cool.
And more importantly, we'll see Vanna hanging out in Coco Corner.
You will see Vanna hanging out in Coco Corner. That is obviously the flashback that everyone is looking forward to.
Well, this felt terrible, guys.
Yeah.
It worse than I thought it would feel. And I really did have a plan. And when we do our arc bark, we'll talk. And we'll talk in Georgia. I get that you're mad at me, and you can be mad at me for a full calendar week and longer.
I think you're gonna have to. I think that's gonna have to extend to a month. Even I was sat there like, oh, "This is cold."
He gave me a protection thing. He forgave me.
Aaron, we're cool. There's no bleed character and person. We're totally cool. Ollie's coming for Tundra. You are D-E-D dead, my dude. I have 6 smites and they're all for you to hold, okay?
Oh, the soul bomb is right there and Ollie's just like, fuck you.
I'm so sorry.
I have 14 D8 radiant damage plus whatever weapon I'm using for Tundra to take right now. Oh my god.
I'm going to preview this little section of the arc, but which is all I'm going to say is so many people have been in the comments in the Discord saying how much they fucking love this trio. Someone literally commented before episode 8.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't know about Tundra Dilly dying.
Oh my god.
And they didn't know about the whole thing, the whole little sitch with Shaddy killing his dad. So this is from Gaius Orphus, who says, I'm so soaked for what's after this, but I am not at all mad for how long it's going. I love these three to death. If anything happens to them, I would be utterly devastated.
Well, then Jasper, you have a homicide on your hands. I don't know what to tell you. You've killed that person. Achieved, my guy.
Achieved.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, John's going to go charge his battery back, as I'm being told by his Zoom. And we will be back next week to wrap up for the last episode of Arc 1 of Campaign 2. And I genuinely want to say, from the bottom of my heart, guys, this has been an incredible arc. I have had so much fun. And I truly cannot wait to see how this thing wraps up. So make sure you check out next week where we'll have the Arc Bark. We'll discuss all of this. But real quick, hey, what do we want to plug, guys? What's
I've got nothing, George.
I'll point you towards Hero Club Podcast if you want to hear some cool D&D narrative mixed down.
Is there much revenge and or kind of, you know, people turning on each other?
Yeah,
in that
there's some revenge in that. None as cutting as the one I just experienced, as it was to me. But
as it was to me, George Primavera.
Oh, God. Check out Total Party Skill for all your D&D nerdy discussions and all sorts of fun TTRPG talk. And follow me at DM George_Primavera on Instagram.
Hell, that's yes. It. John Mackey, what about you?
The same things as all the other episodes. At it's John Mackey on the internet. Brett DiMaccio with Buddy. BigGrandeWebsite.com. You can get all the stuff that I do.
Aaron, you don't deserve this, but Aaron Keefe, what do you got going on?
No, I'm good. I'm sorry.
You lose your plug spot for your betrayal.
Love you guys. Handsome boys. Go check out their stuff.
Go check out Hey Riddle Riddle. It's an absolutely fantastic show with Aaron. And I believe they're doing a tour going to some of your favorite towns and cities this year. Very excited and hope I can get along to those. Also, don't forget to check out Win or Lose, which Aaron wrote on Disney Plus.
Sorry.
And otherwise, just make sure you check out Erin's stuff. Link in the description below because she's absolutely fantastic. This has been truly fucking incredible. Thank you so much, guys. I'm really excited for the art.
I'm nervous.
We're going to pick up.
Yeah.
Erin's panicking.
Sorry.
We'll pick up with the Arc Bark, which I think is going to be an extra juicy Arc Bark. I might even have to leave like an hour or two for the Arc Bark next week, honestly, because we've got some stuff to unpack and some secrets to reveal, I think, in that. So if you want to go check that out, make sure to be over on the Patreon next week. But until then, there is only one thing left to say, and that is, of course,
yippee-yo! Yes!